And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 236, coming at you on a Tuesday night, Bloom Board night on the Bubba and the Bloom show, as usual. So we'll get to some mid-round slow-starting pitchers for you later. We did the hitters last week. We'll talk some news and much, much more. But before we get to that, you can follow me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How are we doing, my friend?
Doing good tonight, except for the awful looking haircut. Apologies for that, but hair will grow back at some point. That's what hair does. Not
lucky
yours.
For you. Exactly. Yeah, lucky for you.
had to dig that one in there right off the top. No, doing good. Did an impromptu playback session stream. I don't know what we call it before the show tonight. About a good 45 minutes with some folks, and that was fun. To say that Marcus Semien's been struggling, I've been benching him, and then he hits a home run in front of everyone later that at bat. So that was a Michael Toglia moment for Tuesday night. You're doing playback tomorrow night, right? Wednesday evening?
Wednesday evening, yes. It's so the East Coasters, do your best to hang if you want, but there's four games starting about 6:40 Pacific, 9:40 East. Yep. One of them is the Giants and Brewers, Peralta versus Webb, which is one of the best matchups on the day, period. So that should on paper be a good one. But then you got Angels, Pirates, you got D-backs and the Jays, and then you got the A's and the Rangers. So we have a lot of good games we can flip back and forth to if necessary, but we'll focus on Webb and Peralta while they're out there because both have been really, really good this season, and hopefully it's a lot better than tonight's Giants game. But yeah, it should be a blast. Like the first one we did last week was a ton of fun. You had a little fun, like you said earlier today, and we'll try to get some earlier show times if possible. It's just tough with our schedules to make that work. So
yep.
Yeah. And for those that are curious, it's playback.tv/BubbaBloom to get to that. Just basically if you just it's like YouTube, if you just follow the page, you'll get alerts when we go live.
You can get notified when because we try and give a heads up as much as we can, but like you said, Bubba, with our schedules, it's kind of tough outside of all the other stuff we do. But that's nice that it will notify you if you follow the site. So yeah, please do as we try and build that up a little bit.
Like I'm gonna try to get one on Friday earlier if possible, but again, that's a big if because it's Friday and a lot of things happen. But Wednesday will happen for sure, barring something insane taking place. But I'll be here to watch Giants and Brewers with everybody. Talk some early fab if you guys want. Just talk things in general, whatever you want to do. As you found out last time, we just let it loose on that show. And if you need somebody to home run that's playing in those games, let me know. I'll help you with that because we'll jinx the heck out of it for you.
Yes.
All right. Other than that, my friend, let's talk some news. This past week in Fab was a lot of prospects. We have a lot more coming up this week, so it's a much different vibe. It's not a ton of IL guys. More guys have been returning than going on the IL of late. Again, that can change as of Tuesday evening. We don't know the results. Christopher Sanchez left with a forearm injury. Corey Seager left with a hamstring injury. A few other probably bumps and bruises throughout the evening slate that will get you caught up for on Breakfast with Bubba tomorrow morning. But we do have a couple IL stints, and like I said, mainly promotions. We'll start with the first IL stint. Spencer Strider hit the IL late Monday, an hour before first pitch, as he was playing catch in the outfield and has a grade one hamstring injury. I'm still kind of thinking this is a bit sus to me, but it's just the pessimist in me because we saw the velo down in his first start. And other things like that. I could be totally just throwing things out there, but you're keeping Strider, obviously. But where do you sit on this one? Because I've let my points be known through most avenues I have.
Yeah, I mean the BS meter is pretty high. It's got to be I could strain a hamstring playing catch, probably do with my little kids, but then to get an IL stint less than an hour later with like no imaging, it's just I don't know, something doesn't add up. But we'll see.
Start the next day.
Yep. Exactly. Is AJ Smith-Shawver coming back up? Have they announced what's going on?
It was today. They did a bullpen game today. They said that's all they did. Nothing official. Just did a bullpen game. Moved on for now. So they're just going to keep it with that for now. You'd like to see AJ Smith-Shawver come back, but it appears they wanted to keep all their bullpen arms in play. Maybe they make a move on Wednesday because they used a couple extra ones in their bullpen game on Tuesday, but no signs of AJ just yet, unfortunately.
Okay.
I'm going to hit the other IL stuff here, and then we'll talk prospects. I'm going to jump around on you here. 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. lock on Monday morning.
Oh, don't get me started on this one.
Jesus. Chase Mydroth goes to the IL. real close to that lock time. I'm just going to say it was very, very close. And for West Coasters that have rostered Chase Bydrot, this could be a tricky situation. How are we doing with this one here? Because he goes to the IL. It's supposed to be a limited stint, hopefully, with him. But where are you at on Chase?
Yeah, not doing great on that one. It's Monday morning, like 7:30, trying to get the kids out the door to go to school. And I do quickly see in the Discord, actually, on my phone, that Mydrof goes to the IL. So I'm trying to do Monday morning things. And yeah, Mydrof's in a couple of my lineups. So we'll just say that. So that's like the Patriots Day 8 a.m. game on steroids, the timing of that Mydrof one. I probably, like, again, it's my fault. I probably should have removed Mydrof that night because I know he was hurt. Didn't think it'd be an IL stint, but if you have any doubt with an early game, you kind of leave that out. But yeah, that was a fun way to start the week, man. Really enjoyable way to
right thumb inflammation. So hopefully get him back by middle of next week. But
thumbs down on that entire sequence there.
Initial thoughts on Chase, though, because we've kind of got like a half a week out of him now. We talked about him in Fab. We were talking more 15 than 12, kind of a floor play. Where are you kind of sitting as you were going to get ready to use him this week? Where were your expectations on a Chase for those that maybe are still interested in him going forward?
Yeah, because I would have had him active in at least in all my 15s. Stole a base like that. That's a good sign. The plate skills that we saw in the minors translated over. It's kind of he is who we thought he was going to be through 31 plate appearances. A lot of bad on ball, no power, but playing every day. I think that will remain the case for when Mydrof gets back. I think for me, the biggest thing with the fan in terms of fantasy value and if Mydrof is relevant in 12 teamers is the green light. Will he run? That I think that's really the only path to, like, I think the batting average will be okay. OBP leagues, it's really good, but he's got to run in order to be, for me, fantasy relevant in 12s. But yeah, I was planning on playing Mydrof in 15s.
For sure. Other piece of IL news, Ezekiel Tovar hit the IL this past weekend with his lingering hip injury. They think it'll be the minimum stint because they already said he's been dealing with it. They're giving him rest days here and there. The Rockies finally said, screw it, IL it away. I'm just stashing him, obviously, and I'm not looking to pick up Shunk either.
No, you are not trying to pick up Aaron Shunk, who for me is in Braxton Fulford territory of believing he is a real player as well.
So on the same team, of course, yes.
Of course. You do wonder with Tovar, like, when did this start? How long has it been lingering? Because it hasn't been the best start in the world. But, yeah, you hold on to Tovar, hope it's minimum, and go from there.
All right, let's talk to young guns here. Now the fun begins. Ryan will probably use his leaderboard, minor league leaderboard, quite a bit because it's been very handy in these situations. But Nick Kurtz was promoted on Monday, did not get the start on Tuesday because they want to ease him into playing every day, even though Patrick Corbin was the opposition. Nick Kurtz is supposed to, again, play every day, joins the A's. Everyone's been waiting for this moment. 7 home runs already on the season, hitting like .360. So where are you at on Nick Kurtz?
Yeah, would have liked him seen him start tonight. I don't get the whole acclimated thing, but whatever. Against a AAA pitcher in a AAA park, I think you just go with Nick Kurtz. It's going to be wild. Like, I'm just interested to see, like, if Nick Kurtz has a good week, dude. Oh my God. It will be a fab bonanza. Like, I think in the 400s and 500s and 15 teamers, if Nick Kurtz has a couple homers or whatever this week, because I mean, everyone seems to love this guy. Pretty much consensus top 50 prospect. The playing time situation, the park, the hard contact and the minors this year. I did tweet out a little minor league leaderboard, which is available to our Patreon subs, but it's like a 94 mile an hour exit velocity for Kurtz, tons of barrels, one of 9 guys with a 94 mile an hour exit velocity and 20% barrel rate. Like, the power is legit. It's going to be very fascinating to see what Nick Kurtz goes for in Fab and NFBC leagues that we have this entire week to look. I will be in on the bidding for sure. I will be in. I almost never go triple digits. It's almost pointless. Well, I shouldn't say that since you got 9 Chandler Simpson for $9 in one of your 12s. But I feel like if you're bidding on Nick Kurtz, you probably need to go triple digits or you're just going to get blown out of the water unless he just looks awful this week.
I think even if he looks awful, he's going to go for triple digits.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
If he looks good, we're talking people are going to spend like 60% of their budget or more. Like they're going to go for broke on this one. I have a feeling like this is the one everyone's been waiting for already, and it's happening. So I see some heavy, heavy spending taking place, which means I will probably luck out on most of this and see where it goes. But with the first base position being so rough, there's a reason to maybe get a little excited about one Nick Kurtz.
Do you? So it was a 27% K rate at AAA this year. Mm-hmm. Like this is probably a low 30s K rate guy, and I hate to bag prospects for just their strikeout rate because Kurtz has the power to more than make up for it. It's my only trepidation. Is you don't normally like to see a high 20 strikeout rate in the minors. So
no, that's what. But I'm still. That's something James Anderson has got stuck into my head throughout the years of talking to him that, you know, some guys can do things differently when they get to the bigs, but if a guy strikes out a lot in the minors, he usually strikes out the same, if not more, in the bigs type scenario, to your point.
Makes sense.
Yeah, to your point. So things can change, but like Soderstrom's at the bat right now. He struck out a ton last year, but he struck out a ton in the minors. He improved this season because he worked on it probably in the offseason after a year or some time playing in the bigs, but that initial journey to the bigs was not a successful type thing. So yeah, we'll see. Look at Zach Veen. Zach Veen striking, I think, close to 40% of the time right now. It's dreadful. Was Zach
Veen still up? Zach Veen still?
I dropped him on Sunday. So
yeah, it's been tough.
Yeah, I pulled the pin. I might have been one of the few that did, but I was like, I'm not going to play this game right now. Like he needs to probably go back to AAA. Let's just put it clear on that one. But we'll see. We'll see where they go. Chandler Simpson, you mentioned him, got the call with Tampa Bay. He was a very popular ad this past week, probably gone in almost all formats. But he stole his second base of the season on Tuesday evening. He's hitting .333 with one run and one RBI and two steals. He's got a double in one of his four hits. What are your thoughts on Simpson? Because I got him for $9 and one, like you said. I was afraid to spend a lot of money. Some people were not afraid to spend a lot of money, but he is the ultimate rabbit. If you're ever going to see, like, if you look up Webster's Dictionary and look up fantasy baseball rabbit, this should be your poster boy.
Didn't you call yourself Elmer Fudd on the Bubba pod?
Jeez. Yeah, call me the Elmer Fudd of fantasy baseball because I don't like rabbits.
Yeah, and so, like, I mean, I don't have too much to add. It's to what everyone's probably heard on other pods at this point. I was not in on the Chandler Simpson bidding just because I look at the floor versus ceiling kind of equation, and I get too scared of the floor with the rabbit. I think what you want to look for with Chandler Simpson early on is, he playing every day and is he running? And so far we're 2 for 2 there, right? He has started each game since he's been up. Friday didn't start, but I think that was actual acclimation.
He was still traveling. He got there mid game.
Okay. Yeah, so obviously could not have started on Friday, but leading off against righties, playing against lefties, and running. So, that's what you want. I can't look at a five-game sample of Chandler Simpson and say, oh, he's going to make out, or no, he's going to be a bust and go back to the minors after a few games. But if Tampa's playing him every day and he's running, that is what you paid up for.
I just can't wait to see what Tampa does when DeLuca should be back in another week or so.
It will get more crowded, yeah. Yes.
Who knows when Lowe comes back, because he can never stay healthy. But like Christopher Morel's kind of entering a platoon all of a sudden, which is going to be it'll be a discussion point on Thursday night show, because I am really like that. I'm debating cutting him in 12s if this keeps up. So this will be a discussion point on Thursday, but something to monitor for those that want to look at it now. If you have, for some reason, you're one of those leagues with midweek fab or something, that is something to keep in mind with Christopher Morel. He's looking bleak for my boy. All right. Catcher, one of my favorite prospect catchers out there that I've been angry that the Marlins didn't start the season with this gentleman. I was angry when they called up Rob Brantley instead of this gentleman, but now Rob Brantley hits the IL, and Augustine Ramirez has made his ascent into the bigs, and he's already raking, which is glorious. So far, he's hitting .833 in the first two games. Obviously not sustainable, but three doubles out of five hits. He's got a ribby. He's got a stolen base. He's even gone caught stealing once. Hasn't struck out in the first few games, which is, you know, small samples. But you look at the success in the minor. Last year, he had 25 homers and 22 steals at AAA. Yep. This dude is a freak. He is an offensive, just amazing player. Like, I will drop Austin Wells for Augustine Ramirez if he plays all week. That was my one thing I said. Whoa. That's one thing I say with Bench with Bubba. If Ramirez gets the full-time playing gig, he is going to be better. He is a catcher one in my mind. Like, that's how good he is. So I might be overly excited about him. I'll let you have the floor now. What are your thoughts on Ramirez? Because you're at least a level-headed person when it comes to this. I am very, very catcher happy, of course.
Yeah, you get a little excited there. Simmer down. Simmer down, Bubba. Talking a little excited over there about Agustin Ramirez. I think the biggest thing with Ramirez is the stolen bases.
Yes.
I'm looking at, again, the minor league leaderboard here, and one of the things I've got color-coded is the stolen base attempt rate. That's how often, when you get on first, how often are you running? Agustin Ramirez is attempting to steal 33% of the time at AAA, which is like crazy to me because that's your best prospect. Like, why would you run him? But they're running him, and he's been running in the majors as well. Like, this could be a stolen base legend for catcher. And then you tack on the raw power that Ramirez has. You mentioned 20 plus homers last year, already has three this year, 13% barrel rate, 89 mile an hour exit velocity at AAA. Like, the tools are there, man. I'm starting to get as excited as you are just talking about this guy.
He's really, really good. Like,
rubbing off on me. So you like him better than Caro from?
Yes, we'll talk about Caro, who I like a lot as well. But okay. Augustine's the guy I've wanted. Like, as much as I loved Adrian Del Castillo, I like Augustine way more.
Oh, and like, you did have some ADLC love last year.
Yes, this is the dude right here. It just comes down to, will the Marlins play him enough? And so far, two for two on this one.
I mean, dude, he has to be primary. Yeah, he has to be the primary.
He's hitting like six, which is not clean up, but still pretty decent in that lineup. Like, Jesus Sanchez hit after him, hit seventh.
Hit clean up today.
He got moved up even higher. So, yeah. And like I mentioned Austin Wells, just because that's a question I've seen even in our Discord and elsewhere. Austin Wells hit .179 with four homers, 10 steals on the season. Like, he's struggling a lot. Like, this is like Gene Segura territory with Austin Wells. The barrel rate's still 10%. The hard hit rate's 50%. Like, there's positives with Austin Wells, and he'll still be good. But Augustin Ramirez will steal a lot more because Wells will not steal. The average will be better. Like, this is an improvement in my mind.
This is like the old tired, wired thing on Twitter. It's like tired fabbing Nick Kurtz for $500. Wired is fabbing Augustin Ramirez for $500. That's you.
Like, I would spend triple digits for Augustin Ramirez if you need a catcher badly. I don't know if I will because it's not my style, but I will be high up on Augustin Ramirez. So I wanted to throw that one out there. All right. You mentioned the other catcher. This is a great part of the show. Glad everybody's tuning in right now. Edgar Caro of the Chicago White Sox got the call. Edgar Caro is one of two really good prospects in the catching department for the White Sox. We kind of talked about Edward Caro late on Thursday's episode. He's a mix of Gabriel Moreno meets Kyber Ruiz, basically. Carroll's been hitting in the middle of the White Sox lineup. He's been the primary catcher, hitting .366 since getting called up. He had three more hits on Tuesday. Only two doubles, no homers yet, but 10% K rate. He's got great plate discipline, good contact skills. He's a great catcher too.
Yeah, I mean, and I think the playing time is very safe with Edgar Caro as well. I just don't see the White Sox taking a cleanup hitter and dropping him down again. And I don't see Teal, at least this season, affecting Caro's playing time. So I like Caro. We've been talking about the Gabriel Moreno, Kieber Ruiz type comp. Has been able to put bat on ball so far in his first week. Has hit a ball 107 miles an hour. So you mentioned those couple doubles. Maybe that was one of those, but at least has shown the ability to hit the ball hard in his first week. So we'll talk more on Thursday in the Fab show, but I think it's Ramirez and then Caro for me too. But both of them look like pretty fine pickups right now in two catcher leagues, and maybe Ramirez in one catchers.
Yep. I picked up Caro this week in at least one league where I really needed catching. So I'm not opposed to it at all. A guy we did talk about last week, but I want to get your thoughts on what we've seen so far is Luke Kuechel, because he's still available in 12s. And for people in like Yahoo's and CBS's and stuff, he'll be available. It depends on what format you're in. It depends on his eligibility, because good God, that was amazing. That you put the Discord.
That thing I dug up, man. It's, let's see. Luke Kuechel, UT only on the NFBC. On Fantrax and CBS, he's second base only. I'm in labor and on RT Sports, he's outfield. I actually fabbed Kieschel, and I had no idea he was outfield in labor. So that another Monday morning surprise, along with Chase Meidroth. And then on Yahoo, my man is first, second, and outfield.
How so is he first?
There's like six different positions on four different platforms. I've never seen this before.
And he's playing second base right now, for those that care. God, he's playing really well. He's hitting 357 through Tuesday. He's got three steals, three runs scored, two RBIs, no homers, but two doubles, almost 18% walk rate with a 12% strikeout rate. Like, early on, good signs with Luke.
Absolutely. And similar to what I said about Chandler Simpson, is you just want to see, is he playing every day? Is he playing lefty righties? Is Kieschel running? Obviously, Kieschel is not Chandler Simpson on the bases, but three steals already. As long as Kieschel hits, I think he is going to play pretty much every day. It may take a while for Kieschel to get second base. It's been three DH games. Again, depending on what site you play on, only one second base game. But yeah, if you can, like, UT only makes it tough in NFBC formats, but I like Kieschel quite a bit. He has looked very good so far.
As Burks said, ESPN listens to
wide receiver on ESPN.
Nick Pollock's confused. We're talking about steals. We're getting to pitchers after the news, Nick. We'll be there very shortly. We're almost done. The last bit of news we have actually involves relief pitchers, Nick, so stay tuned. I want to hit to Arizona and get your thoughts on this, Ryan. AJ Puck's on the IL with a forearm injury. News came out today. He's getting multiple other opinions, which is not great, of course. And Justin Martinez was out over the weekend due to arm fatigue, which does not sound great. Like, I hate hearing that. I know some guys bounce back, but I just hate that concept. Where are you at on this situation? Because and Martinez didn't pitch tonight in the 5-1 win for the D-backs either.
Yeah, the multiple second opinion, right? Opinions. That does not sound good for AJ Puck. I think if you have Puck, you want to hold until you're completely sure, but things are trending in the wrong direction. I have no idea what to think about Justin Martinez, right? It's multiple days off in a row, which you don't like to see. I don't think that's just arm fatigue, but Diamondbacks aren't going to tell us. I don't know, man. Jalen Beeks has a sub-1 ERA. Good strikeout and walk numbers.
Don't sleep on Shelby Miller, baby.
God.
Here we are.
It's just crazy to me that Shelby Miller is back on the Diamondbacks.
Yes.
It could be Shelby Miller. I don't know.
Could be.
What happened? Where's Ginkle? Is he done? He's hurt. Shoulder.
He's hurt. Yeah, he's hurt. Yeah. He's done. So, it's something to monitor. We'll talk a lot more about on the Fab Show on Thursday, but I wanted to bring that up as well. Let's get your thoughts there, because things are not looking good. As Uncle Ted said, Dre Jameson did get the save in the extra inning game over the weekend in Wrigley, but that's extra innings, so might have been the last arm available at that point in time.
But it's definitely something you want to watch. I mean, you want to, again, we'll talk about it Thursday, but you definitely want to monitor this, because unlike the Chicago White Sox, who have zero team saves, Diamondbacks, there should be saves. They're still at zero.
Thursday. But if you're like in daily leagues, start, you know, specking on some of these guys. And then I wanted to just throw this out there. I think we know the answer now, but Cade Smith picked up the save again on Tuesday night, back-to-back nights for the Guardians. But then after the game, Stephen Vogt came out and said, well, Class A pitched all three games over the weekend, including 30 pitches on Sunday, so we wanted to give him a few days off. I could see that being true, but also Class A's been bad. So, like, if you are in the kind of league that you can afford to roster a Cade Smith, he is not the worst person to roster right now.
Yeah, I think a lot we've of been through this with Luke Class A.
A lot of people are rostering Luke Weaver for the same reasons, just throwing it out there.
Yeah. If you have the roster spot to stash a reliever like that, sure, but I don't know. Like, yes, I do wish Class A and Devin Williams were off to better starts, but I think those guys have such long leashes.
Let's just say Class A has not been in session this week, so it's okay. All right, on that note, Ryan, let's get to the Bloom boards on a Tuesday evening here. Nick has been waiting patiently to talk about pitchers, so what are we looking at today?
All right, so what we have, similar to our uplifting topic of last week, mid-round slow starters, we are flipping now to the mound. Move the ADP thresholds up a little bit. We're looking at ADP 75 through 300. from Main Event Draft, so late in March. Pitchers with a 4+ ERA and a 1.3+ WHIP. So these are your guys who you pretty much drafted to be SP2 through 4, maybe, depending on your league size and format, and they are not getting it done. So what we're looking at the board is each pitcher's ADP, their innings pitch for this year, the ratios and strikeouts so far. And I guess we'll just kind of freestyle and say how concerned we are or are not about each of these slow starters.
Yeah, let's just start off at the top here with Tanner Bibee, because this is the guy I've been massively worried about. It started off giving up a home run almost right out the gate to Ben Rice on Tuesday. I'm like, oh, here we go again. He calmed down, gave up 2 runs in 6 innings, but it was 3 more walks. He's had 11 walks in his last 3 outings, which is not great. And it gives him 14 walks on the season through 26 innings pitched. He's got 20 strikeouts over that stretch. So the control's been an issue. He's given up 8 home runs now in those outings as well. It's the longest outing he's had of the season. It's his first time going 6 innings, which I guess is a plus. So it's his first quality start. But like you look at the ERA indicators, Ryan, they're suggesting he's pretty much pitching to his skill set at this point in time. Yeah. I still think he's a much better pitcher than this. But things are definitely off with Tanner Bibee. And maybe these are the concerns people told me last year when I was crazy for saying he could take the next step. Now it's like, hey, he's leaving the fastball in places he shouldn't leave it, so on and so forth. When you look into it more, what are you thinking? Because I am concerned, because it's the Guardians profile of years past where these pitchers need to be very good with location to be successful. And if you're not, you're going to get smacked around with a slightly below average fastball, essentially.
Yeah, a couple things with Bibee. Like, I think first off, it's just the command. Command is absolutely not there, and that can mean a couple of things. I mean, that could be just something mechanical. Could even be just even, I don't know, with command, but tipping his pitches. These are all kinds of things you might want to look at. And then the last thing is like injury, which is obviously the worst thing. The velocity is pretty stable with Bibee, so I'm not too worried about an injury. I just feel like it's something mechanical where he's just not throwing. He's not throwing strikes and not getting whiffs, which is kind of that double whammy, right? It's a swinging strike that was above 12 last year. That's down in single digits, 9.8 so far. And it's a ball rate that is skyrocketed up from 34% last year to 39. League average ball rate is 36%. So Bibee's not getting whiffs. He's not throwing strikes. And I kind of want to dive deeper into this because pretty like sizable pitch mix change for Tanner Bibee. And usually a pitch mix change is sometimes like a positive connotation. It can work both ways. And maybe this is just a classification thing. I don't know, but Tanner Bibee's throwing his sinker, but he didn't really throw at all last year. He's throwing that like 15% of the time, throwing more sweepers, has not thrown his curveball. Again, the curveball sweeper thing could be somewhat classification related. Fewer four seamers, fewer cutters, and fewer changeups. So like basically he's changed the mix on all 5 of his pitches. And I don't really know why that's happening. That's especially on it for an organization with Cleveland that kind of knows what they're doing with pitchers, or we think knows what they're doing with pitchers. This is like a different Tanner Bibee, both in terms of command and arsenal, and it's not working. So it's, that makes it even more concerning, honestly.
Yeah, it's been rough. It's been very, very rough. There's a lot of these cases. Obviously, we're going to talk about them. That things have not been going great. And it's more like, to me, it's the walks and the home runs. It almost feels Brandon Faught-esque. And I didn't draft where you should draft Brandon Faught right now, which is the problem. All right, let's just clean this one up real quick. Bailey Ober is on this list here. Bailey Ober gave up 8 runs and 2 2/3 to start the season. Since then, he has thrown 3 straight quality starts now. He's had 4 straight outings with 3 earned runs or less. His ERA is back below 3. We're back in business in my mind, unless I'm overthinking this one.
No, I think we're back in business. Looked well, started off kind of rough against the White Sox tonight, but seemed to right the ship. So I think Bailey Ober, yeah, this is one where you want to look at the game logs. And it's that classic. I'd run this exercise pretty much every year sometime in May, where if, you know, that age old, if you take out their worst outing, which it counts, what does their revised ratios look like? And Bailey Ober was on that list last year. He'll be on that list year again. I'm not super concerned about Bailey Ober. And I think it wasn't he sick or something before his first start.
Yeah, he was sick. Jeffers said he couldn't even keep like his food down. Yeah, it was a really great concept to throw him on on the mound on that one. Really, really good job, Twins.
Tanner Bibee was sick over opening day weekend too. Remember?
Yes, he had too much Chipotle.
That'll get you.
Gets you every time if you're not careful. That and Taco Bell. All right, Aaron Nola, your boy, makes the list because he's not that good right now. 31 years old. He allowed 4 runs in his last start. He's allowed, you know, 4 or more runs in 3 out of 5 outings, 20 earned runs in 28 innings pitched. Does have 31 Ks, Ryan, so I'll give you that for you. But other than that, he's 0-5 in 5 starts. I don't think that's the goal of being a starting pitcher. But what do you have on Nola? Should we be optimistic, Ryan? Because to me, it feels like it's an old pitcher that's just reverting into a, you know, his Charlie Morton years.
I was going to try and throw some Dylan Cease shade on you because I was going to say at least Aaron Nola has a better ERA than Dylan Cease. But no, Dylan Cease is 6.03 ERA. Yep. Bests Aaron Nola. You're going to hate me saying this. I'm not that concerned, man. I knew you would. Dude, it's a 364 BABIP. That's huge. It's a 24% homer to fly. I know Aaron Nola gives up home runs. That is his MO. I am willing to say that Aaron Nola will have a higher than normal homer to fly ball rate, even though he didn't in 2022, 2021. But I'll give you that. The swinging strike. The velocity is down a little bit, but the swinging strike, the ball percentage, it's there. I'm not super concerned about Aaron Nola. I'm not saying he's going to suddenly be an ace or something. You're going to get the classic Nola line, 6 innings, 7 Ks, 1 walk, 3 home runs, and like 4 earned. And that's what happens. It's frustrating as hell, but that's Aaron Nola for you.
Definitely not a top 100 pick in that case. But, yes, that is Aaron Nola. You nailed it. Robbie Ray, this is kind of the I told you so
your
moment
guy.
Of the show. No, this is the I told you so moment. I said you're going to get one of two guys. You're going to get the guy that doesn't walk anybody and looks like a Cy Young person, or the guy that I watched a lot last year and was heavily concerned with the way things were working out with Robbie Ray, that he had zero control. And people were saying, okay, he's coming off the TJ. Could be the truth. Through the first 5 starts, Ryan, we have 18 walks in 24 innings. We have a 6.5% K to walk. That is not going to cut it. And he's walked 3 or more in 4 straight starts. He's just, every start I watch of him, he is lost on the mound right now.
And it filters through to his pitch mix too. Like, so the ball rate's super high. It's 42%. That is astronomical. And so Robbie Ray has deserved the hideous walk rate. To me, though, it's all because of the fastball. He's not throwing his fastball for strikes, and when that happens, everyone's just spitting on his slider. He's not in favorable counts to throw the slider. Everyone knows when it's coming. They can spit on it and just kind of wait for something on the fastball, and that's basically what's happening for Robbie Ray. He cannot locate it, can't get whiffs with it, and if you can't get whiffs with your fastball, your most prominent secondary pitch isn't going to be as effective. And that's the deal with Robbie Ray. Velocity's held pretty firm. More innings than Nestor Cortez. Give him that.
Yeah. You're gonna win that one, that's for sure.
But I share your concern with Robbie Ray. I agree. This was a kind of a high ceiling, low floor type play, and so far it's been very much the floor.
Yes, indeed. Your boy Luis Castillo, he's had like, it's like a mixed bag looking at his start to the season, because he's not giving up a ton of runs, but he's walking a decent amount, doesn't strike a lot of guys out, so it's a lot of pitch to contact. It's not the swing and miss, nasty changeup guy we used to, you know, grew in love with Luis Castillo. So it was kind of my concerns coming into the year, and it's still early. They could prove me all wrong. But it was like, he's getting older. We've seen at least I was thinking there's some of this decline he'd been seeing towards the end of last season. And it's kind of carried over this year.
It has. And we're seeing another tick down in fastball velocity. It's down a full tick for Luis Castillo from last year. And with that, another drop in whiffs. Control hasn't been that great either. I just feel like, when we talked about this more in draft season, but like, I feel like this is a steady decline for Luis Castillo. And we are seeing, I don't think it'll be a collapse, but this is not the, like, normally I go for this type of like hitter, this guy with this track record who's been around, and like, I know he's going to bounce back. He's kind of like the Paul Goldschmidt of like pitchers, but with pitchers, I just think once there's a lot of innings on Luis Castillo's arm. It's a lot harder to bounce back with that many innings underarm and with pretty much every indicator going the wrong direction. So I don't think it's going to be a disaster season for Luis Castillo. It's hard to have a disaster season when you pitch in Seattle. If Luis Castillo ever got traded, could be rough. So yeah, it's I don't know. I feel like you're getting an SP3, SP4 the rest of the way.
Yep, that does check out. I'll give you that one. All right, this guy,
a lot of innings.
Thank God I only have him where I got him super cheap at an auction because I thought no one else was paying attention as my SP4. Zach Gallen. This has been a dreadful. Well, it's okay. I'm not gonna say dreadful so much as not great because
it's been pretty bad.
No, but two out of the three outings are 6+ innings, 2 runs or less, struck out 13 Yankees. He's got 3 really bad outings. So it's like, which one are you going to get? It's my point. Like we see, it's like every other start's been good and bad. And I'm not saying that's how you should evaluate pitching, obviously. And the ERA indicators indicate he's like a 2-run below where he's at, which is still a 4.5, which is not good, but it's not 6.75 ERA. I think it's what you mentioned though with the innings. That's a big, big concern. So where are you when you look at Zach Gallen?
Zach Gallen for me is, like, and this is not going to be useful analysis. I have no idea every year what to do with Zach Gallen. I still don't really know what to do with him now because of what you just said. You look at the game logs. I mean, who strikes out 13 Yankees in a game? Yep. Like, not many people can do that or have done that. But then you see everything else that Zach Gallen has not been able to do. So I don't know, man. I continue to be befuddled by Zach Gallen. Another one where the control is just not trending in the right direction. Ball percentage for Zach Gallen the last 4 seasons, 35, 36, 38%, and then 42% so far this year. So not commanding the ball very well, not getting any whiffs on his 4-seam fastball, which he throws almost half the time, and he's not throwing that fastball for strikes either. So again, could be mechanical, could be something deeper. Velocity on the fastball is down a full tick. I'm always going to lean, like, I don't know what to do with Gallen, so I'm not going to draft him. I lean more on the pessimistic side of Zach Gallen the rest of the way.
Yeah, he's benched for me right now. He almost got dropped last week, actually. Almost got dropped because I'm like, I just don't want the headache with
that. That's why
I did. Well, I got him in our listener auctions for $9. I was like, that seems pretty sweet. Not so much anymore.
Sharp room, man. They gave him
sharp room. Sharp room.
Miguel Amaya go for in that league, by the way?
Sandy Alcantara, coming off his Tommy John surgery last year, making his season debut. Brent Rooker, thank you, sweet baby Jesus. Home run there. Sandy has looked really bad. His Rooker last Dong? Two starts. Yep, Rooker Dong. Sandy Alcantara has allowed 10 earned runs over his last 7 2/3 innings with 6 walks and 2 strikeouts, Ryan. He has 10 walks and 13 Ks and 17 in the third innings this year. Part of me wants to say it's, you know, coming back from TJ, you got to work on command and all that stuff because the velocity has actually been up the last couple starts. So that's a plus, but he's getting shellacked out there right now. And it is not the Sandy we used to know and love.
It is not. And this is one, I don't know. It's just interesting to see Sandy do this on the heels of the spring training where this is one where the market absolutely reacted to a hot spring training. And I kind of get it, right? Because, I mean, what did we have to go off of for Sandy Alcantara the last couple of years? So it is one where, like, everyone was waiting to see what Sandy looks like in spring training. So I'm not going to shade on that too much. But especially with the velocity, was looking good and he was healthy. But I don't know, man. The command, the Jason Collette rule, command is always the last to come back coming off these TJs. And, I mean, this is Sandy's pretty much first go around in a competitive environment since that TJ. And it's not great. It won't be this bad, obviously, all season, but not what you drafted Sandy for. I see it getting better, but not even the rest of the way, not earning a 122 ADP, especially because the Marlins, man, like, yeah. How many wins is my guy actually going to get?
Well, I don't think he finishes the season on the Marlins. That's for one, for starters.
Should be a good thing.
Which could be a good thing. And he faces the Reds in Miami on Wednesday. Could be a nice little spot to get right because they strike out a good amount versus righties. They hit close to 200 versus righties right now. So, well, if he struggles on Wednesday, I'm going to start getting really concerned. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Gavin Williams, another Cleveland Guardian here. The hype train was real. He has allowed two earned runs or less in 4 out of 5 starts. I'll give him that. But there's still a lot of walks with Gavin Williams. There's still a K per nine as well. So it's kind of a good and a bad when I look at Gavin Williams. What do you see when you look at Gavin Williams?
He's another one I hate to – he's like another Zach Allen for me. Didn't really believe too much in what we saw out of Gavin Williams. I don't even know what you could – see that much outside of like prospect pedigree and scouting reports, just because we have not had a long look at Gavin Williams. I will say, like, Gavin Williams barely makes this list. It's a 4.15 ERA, 1.35 WHIP. So this is kind of the danger of using just arbitrary kind of thresholds to make a bloom board. You're gonna have some guys who just barely creep on. I you know, if you drafted Gavin Williams 1.45 and you believed in him, I don't think you're any more concerned now than you would have been to start out.
Agreed. Before we go to the right side, do you have any quick thoughts on Ryan Pepio or Taj Bradley? Both have been off to very rough starts. Honestly, the entire Rays rotation for the outside of Shane Boz has got off to a rather rough start. They showed Zach Lytle against the D-backs today. He's been struggle bussing it. Anything on these two?
No, not too much. It's just going to be fascinating to see how that park plays this summer. Even though they are going to be on the road a little bit more, this is kind of the time you want to have your Rays pitchers pitch well, and Pepio and Bradley are not. Shane Boz, by the way, I'm taking an early L on that one.
You and me both.
We were not on Mr. Boz. It still could not work out. We're not rooting against Shane Boz, but he's looked very good.
All right, we're going to jump to Tanner Houck here. Tanner Houck comes in with a 7.66 ERA, 1.66 WHIP with 18 Ks in 24 innings. He did allow 11 earned runs in 2 1/3 innings his 2 starts ago in Tampa Bay. Bounced back against the White Sox like you should. 6 innings, 2 runs, 7 Ks. Yeah. So that's been good. But overall, you know, 3 starts with 2 or fewer strikeouts will not cut it for you. At least 2 walks in every game. So he's got the command issues at the same time. He's giving up home runs too. So there's a lot, like, it's not as bad as it looks on paper, but it still is not great, Ryan.
I'm not too worried about the walks, or sorry, the home runs. I am worried about the walks. I'm not too worried about the home runs with Tanner Houck. It's still a over 50% ground ball rate. Those guys just typically don't have home run issues. And for Tanner Houck, it's a 25% homer to fly ball. That's astronomical. League average, I think, I don't know what it is this year, but usually it's like 12%. So that's double. That's just not going to stick. And then you do have to take into account kind of the Bailey Ober effect, right? Like how much do you weigh that one bad outing, which again, it did happen. And like you said, it's been 2+ walks in every other start for Tanner Houck, but rebounded well. I don't know. The thing with Tanner Houck is like, it was the first half, second half last season. And the way that Tanner Houck ended 2024, I kind of wrote that off as like, this was Tanner Houck's first extended full season, just kind of ran out of gas rotation. And in theory, an off season of rest would cure that. And we'd see more first half Tanner Houck again, but has not happened thus far. If the ground ball rate goes away, then I start to really get concerned. But if he can still hold a 50% ground ball with a little bit better command, everything else isn't too far off what we saw last year.
Yeah, I'm slightly worried as well, just because this was a guy that was a quality starts machine last year. I noticed that when I was doing some underdog research before the season, and he's not even coming close to providing any quality starts right now. So he's just way off the game. So
he's got two of his last 3 have been quality starts. Yeah, he has had that, but
it's messy. It's messy.
Do we see a worse start this season than what we saw from Tanner Houck? 11 earned two and a third.
For Tanner or just period?
Period. Like, you don't see many double-digit earned run starts. Like, that's...
I don't think you get hung out to dry that. Well, they never say never, but I'm going to say no.
You think 11 can't be top this year? I don't know when the last time we saw 12 earned in a game.
That's pretty tough to do unless you're Ariel Cohen and you're pitching a slow-pitch softball playoff game or something. But that's more 2 earned runs because he's an ace. So he's got that going for him.
Strays.
No, it's he's a beast. He's a pitching beast on the mound. But slow pitch softball, you get a bunch of runs. I was being honest. He'd never allow it to happen though. Jeffrey Springs, on the other hand, pitching in Sacramento, might let that happen. Jeffrey Springs has been off to a rough start, to according to some, because some are very optimistic. I know, I think you were not optimistic going into this season. A few others weren't, but you have Springs. Everyone was thinking, okay, he's going to pitch all these innings. He hasn't pitched that many innings in a long time to begin with. But what we're seeing from him is he's gone five innings, three out of five starts, which is not bad, but he's given up at least three earned runs. He's walking a couple guys every start. Strikeouts are not there at all. And it seems like whenever I turn the TV on, he's given up some very, very loud contact.
Yeah, and I feel like with someone like Springs, that I was off of Springs entering the season, is like, how long do you have Jeffrey Springs, right? It's been 50 innings the last two seasons combined, right, with injuries. He did spike 135 innings back in 2022. But, like, I feel like you get limited reps with Jeffrey Springs, and they need to count. It's kind of like if DeGrom struggles, it's like you're only probably getting him for half a season. You need that half season to be really good. I feel like with Springs, we can't predict when the next injury is going to hit, but I feel like he is at elevated risk for an injury. And the version that we've seen from him on the mound has not been worth it. So you're only getting a limited amount of Springs, and the piece that you've gotten so far has been pretty much unrosterable. It's been brutal.
Yeah, it's been rough. And again, the preseason, the A's brass, as much as we love them so much, said he's going to pitch 150 innings this year, and he hasn't done that.
Well, so is Shane McClanahan. So.
Yes. Yep, and he's still at the big old zero on that one. So we'll see
What happened to that guy, by the way?
I haven't heard anything.
Have you heard anything?
No, because I got him in the Vegas league.
I remember in the last round of Vegas league, which made sense.
Yeah, and like every fab period, I just look at his name going, I know the second I
you
drop
still
him,
have him.
Yeah, well, I know every time. I know the second I drop him, news is going to come out that he's like throwing a bullpen or something. I'm like, God dang it! But
that's impressive. You still have him. Jesus.
Yeah. We're rolling. That because the other reason is that league. There's rarely any pitching on the wire in that league. That league is a sharp group of people.
Yeah.
Very annoying.
Given where I'm at in the standings, I would agree.
Yes. Let's go with that. Ranel Blanco of the Houston Astros, a guy I was very skeptical on last year because he kept like overperforming all the peripheral metrics with him, and people are still optimistic on him this year. He entered Tuesday with a 6.48 ERA and a 1.68 WHIP. He did go 6 2/3, one earned run on a solo shot, two walks and three strikeouts against the Jays. Mm. So the strikeouts are still like 20 Ks and 23 and a third innings with 12 walks on the season. He's keeping the ball in the yard. But, man, he still has a 5.01 ERA after tonight's outing. So he dropped it a little bit. That's good. But I'm still very, very skeptical on Ranel Blanco.
I liked Ranel Blanco entering the season. It's interesting you see because, I didn't see Blanco's line tonight. Because I was going to say is at least the whiffs are still there. It's almost a 14% swinging strike for Ranel Blanco, which is really good, and why I was actually interested in Blanco this draft season. The walks have always been an issue. It's always been a double-digit walk rate for Ranel Blanco. I just like to see the swinging strikes turn into Ks. I think that still happens. I think Ranel Blanco can be a decent SP 4. I'm not going to say 3. I'm going to say 4. I should probably say 5. But I think he's better than this. I the velocity's holding strong. The slider is still super effective for Ranel Blanco. It's a 24% whiff rate on the slider, which is really good. Missing bats with curveball changeup. Like the arsenal is there. Velocity's there. The whiffs are there. I think this gets better for Ranel Blanco. He's not going to be a beast or breakout or anything like that, but I think he can be a decent 4 when things are right. Yeah, I'm not convincing you, I know. But
no, he's a streamer at best. It's kind of where I've always been on him. He's not an auto start ever for me. So I can see that. We're not going to talk about Justin Verlander because this is who he is going to be all season. Get used to it. He's going to dazzle you for a few innings and then give up a lot and pitch five or six innings. And he's basically Charlie Morton. That's what you're getting with Justin Verlander. Nick Martinez, though, we're going to talk about Nick because this is the guy you liked coming into the season and I could never get on board with it. You made sound logic, like you made sense when you explained it. I was just terrified of the prospect of Nick Martinez. Entered Tuesday with a 6 ERA and a 1.43 WHIP. He threw 5 2/3 inning with two earned runs, four strikeouts, two walks against the Reds in a no decision on Tuesday to lower his ERA to 5.40.
He's coming back.
Yeah, those four strikeouts, that was just against the freaking Marlins. That's impressive stuff, man. So what's your thoughts on Nick Martinez? Because that's my biggest thing is the dude's got 23 Ks and 26 2/3 innings pitched. He has nine walks, which is one thing you did preach. He doesn't walk a lot of guys, so you got that going for you. But yeah, where are you at on this one?
So, like, you shouldn't have expected many Ks from Nick Martinez, right? It was a 20% K rate. It's pretty much been like a 20% K rate the last three seasons with, you know, whiffs that are there. But the big thing with Nick Martinez was, is he going to hold a 3% walk rate, which is like George Kirby-esque. It's one of the best that you'll see. That's what Nick Martinez had over 142 innings last season with the ball percentage to back it up. And so far, Nick Martinez has regressed back on the walk rate to kind of league average levels. And that's what's concerning, is if Nick Martinez is even walking a batter or two a game, he does not have the swing and miss to make up for it. And he's in a park, Great American Small Park, that is not conducive to contact, especially when you add on the fact that Nick Martinez has a 28% ground ball rate. He's giving up way too many fly balls, and that's a problem. So I'm a little concerned about Nick Martinez, just because, like, these pitch to contact guys, the guys that rely on like elite command, if that command dips at all, you get like bad Kyle Hendricks, and you don't want bad Kyle Hendricks in your life.
No, you do not. That is a bad place to be. Let's talk Kumar Rocker on this one. A lot of helium as draft season came to an end, as he was pitching well. We saw the velocity going to make the rotation, all that fun stuff. In Texas, looked really good his last start against the Angels. 7 innings, 3 earned, 8 strikeouts. That was a big plus. Prior to that, though, like, low strikeout numbers, only went 3 innings, basically in 2 out of the 3 starts prior to that. There's rumors he might go back to AAA when Jack Leiter comes back, if they keep Corbin and company in play. Where are you at on what you've seen from Rocker? Because that last start, obviously, outstanding. If we could get like 2/3 of that the rest of the way, groovy. But where do you see? What do you see?
I did not see the last start. I've only seen one of Rocker's starts, and it was against the Reds and looked absolutely terrible. The problem with Rocker that I've seen so far, both in that start and just looking at his numbers here, is it's one really good pitch. It's a slider that is absolutely awesome that can dominate in the minors. I don't know how well that works against major league hitters. I think you got to have something else. And this is what I saw in the Cincinnati start, is everyone was either just spitting on the slider, fouling it off, and waiting for what is truly a horrendous fastball. It's a 3% swinging strike on 3% on a fastball for Kumar Rocker on his sinker. And that he throws that 35% of the time. Slider is his most used pitch. It's a good pitch, but yeah, I think you need something else. And maybe he's starting to find it in his last start. Like, that's encouraging. That's a reason to hold Kumar Rocker, especially because I think as long as he pitches okay, he's going to stay in the rotation. But I don't know, man. I just feel like having one good slider and not a decent fastball or another good secondary pitch, it's just recipe for disaster against big league hitters.
Yep. Yeah, that is a concern. That's one reason why, for a long time, people said just make him like a closer. Like, this could be what he could do really well.
I was kind of thinking about that in the middle of my little speech there. It could make a really good reliever. But
yep. So we'll see where that goes. Like I told you before the show in my recent PT Tomorrow column, the Rangers system does not have a lot of pitching options when it comes to starting pitching. So Rocker's going to get a lot of leeway either in AAA or the bigs to stay stretched out. Let's put it that way. I don't really think we need to talk about Michael Wacha or Mitch Keller. Both just barely made the requirements, honestly. So they're kind of just up for grabs here. So what I want to ask you, as we're kind of winding down the board before we get into a slew of Discord questions, who are the one or two pitchers you're least concerned about on this list?
Least concerned about, I'll say
it can't be Aaron Nola, because that'd be the biggest lie I've ever seen.
I kind of just want to say it, but you already ruined that. I'll say Bailey Ober.
Yes, Bailey Ober is definitely Definitely Bailey over. I will agree. So since you took Bailey over, I'm going to go with, weirdly enough,
the Taj.
No, weirdly enough, I'm thinking, I'm going to, Reese Olson barely hits the requirements. I'm going to still go with Tanner Bivey. I think there's a much better pitcher there.
Okay.
I think there's a much better pitcher there. Just, guys, got to figure, because if he's not good, I have a lot of Tanner Bivey. That's going to suck. The other guy I was going to say, honestly, is Tanner Houck. I think we're in for better days ahead with Tanner Houck. But
so speaking of Mr. Houck in that 11 earned run game, I looked it up. Pro on the podcast here. The last 12 plus earned run game was in 2023. Belongs to Ben Lively, wow, who gave up 13 earned runs. In 2023. Oof. Before that, it was 2020. So this has only happened one other time in the last 5 years. Jordan Yamamoto.
I remember that. Everyone was pumped for him. He gave it up, and he basically went to AAA. We never saw him again.
Yeah, Yamamoto. I did not realize there's obviously no relation there.
No. He's
what the heck?
No, because he's with the, was he the Marlins or Pittsburgh?
He was with the Marlins. Yeah, he went at Atlanta September 9th of the COVID season, 12 earned.
Because then he went to Pittsburgh for a little bit. It didn't work out there, and then he was never to be seen again.
We got my guy Vinny Mazzaro. Remember him?
Yes.
14 earned runs back in 2011. So that's
9 years before Yamamoto. So yeah, it's very few and far between. If it happens twice in one season, Someone urinated in their manager's Cheerios before the game, basically. It's the best way I'll say that one. I cleaned that up the best I could, people.
There's not really a good way to clean that one up, but you tried, I guess.
I tried. As long as you hit the bowl, it stays rather clean.
Can't wait for what's on breakfast with Bubba tomorrow? Cheerios?
Cheerios. The Jackson Cheerios. You see he's got his own Cheerio line coming out? It's about time. Smart people. Smart people there.
You can get with Moises Alou for a collab there.
Oof. Pickle juice. All right, let's get some listener questions here. We'll start with one from the chat here from Keegan Hartman. He says, my NL-only team with Manaea, Steele, Christopher Sanchez, plus might need to take a shot at someone like Gallen. Ouch.
That's brutal, especially in NL-only. I don't know how you recover from that, Keegan. That's tough.
You go get a lot of good, like Hayden Birdsong types, and just start just hoping they get 3 to 5 innings a week out of the pen and just roll. That's about all you can do. And that's
blue ball.
Yeah.
Spec on a blue ball or something.
Well, it's NL only is the problem. Blue ball is an Astro.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Never mind. Yeah. Sorry, Keegan. You are screwed.
You're about to get blue ball out of here. All right.
That's tough.
Yeah. It's very, very tough. Let's a couple Twitter questions here. Taylor Johnson says, would it be smart to cash in on the Simpson call-up and trade for a starting pitcher like Bibee or Fought?
If you need pitching, yes. There's the old saying in dynasty leagues, a prospect has reached their peak trade value like the day they get called up. I would absolutely consider that if you need pitching.
Yeah, he says, or should I hold on and hope he steals a monster amount of bases and value increases more? I definitely could use starting pitching help, and I'm average at speed.
I would trade
for a starter. Yes.
Yeah, I would do it now. Yep.
The other question is from Gerald Points. He says, still have my starting pitchers in 15-teamer, but now I am last in RBIs. A team that likes to trade and wants my starting pitching has J-Rod, these outfielders, Julio Rodriguez, O'Neill Cruz, Duran, Churio. I have Joe Ryan, Max Meyer, DeGrom, Yamamoto, Lizardo, Pepio, Bubich, Wu, Roop. He got good pitching.
Good pitching.
He likes Joe Ryan and Ryan Roop. What return can I expect? If you package them together?
For one of those outfielders you mentioned?
Those are elite. Like, he's got three basically top 23-ish players. He's got four top 30 players right there, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be tough to get.
I don't know. Yeah, it's hard to predict, but I would absolutely, given the depth of that pitching staff.
Yeah,
if you could make a move.
Start at the top. Start with J-Rod, then go to Churio, then go to Duran, then go to Cruz. See which one he bites on. But just go one at a time down the list.
Yeah.
You never know which one he's more soured on than the next.
That's true.
Things happen. Weird things happen. All right, let's get to the Discord.
Discord brought it this evening.
Whew, I got a mess. I was busy and I get a text from Ryan saying, there's a lot of questions in the Discord. I said, yay, let's figure this out. And I do appreciate it. I mean, sarcastic, everybody, but I get to navigate this now because some of it's them talking to each other. BP says, I only have one of these guys. Fortunately, what's up with Zach Gallen? A lot of those strikeouts came in one game. Seems pretty hittable so far. We agree.
Yes, we agree.
Ben Bingham says, are the Guardians just bad at pitching now? That is a great question, but I it's hard to believe they lose it that fast, especially if somebody's talented as Tanner Bibby.
Agreed. I don't know the ins and outs on who may have left or whatever behind the scenes. It did cup eight with old Sticks.
Yes, about time.
McKenzie. That's a sharp fall from grace. I wouldn't say that quite yet, that the Guardians are bad at pitchers now. Good. And maybe I'm guessing that the question was probably half tongue in cheek, but just because the Guardians pitchers have been pretty bad, and it's we're not used to seeing that. But
two of them are on the list.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. So
Steve Brunn says Bibby looks like it's control command related. Do you see anything else?
That's what I see. But so the question is it how fixable is it?
Yes. You know, agreed.
I don't know. That's the part we don't know. But I definitely think it's control command related. And that pitch mix change for Bibby, I don't know the reasoning behind that. I kind of want to dig in and see if anyone has asked Bibby about that, because it's weird to switch things up that much and not see the results. So can he switch back? I don't know. But
good question. Ross Hawk says Grant Holmes is not on this list because of luck factors, but the skills have plummeted. A near 40% ball percentage, a 10% swinging strike, 8.6% K to walk. Just a small sample against tough matchups, or do we have to reevaluate his talent level, i.e. is he more of a streamer in 12s?
I think so right now. I think Grant Holmes is more a streamer in 12s. You want to talk about the command not being there. It's bad. Grant Holmes. Yeah, so that's tough. Grant Holmes has a 204 BABIP and an 8% homer to fly. That's why his ERA is at 3.22, but he's pitching more like a high fours, 5 ERA type guy right now. That could change, but it's not looking great for our guy, Grant Holmes, right now.
Yeah, 4 walks in 3 of his last 4 starts, 4 walks in each game, which is obviously not going to cut it. But I'm not dropping him, but definitely streaming only right now. Steve Stoughton says, I want to hear from both of you. Two or three of those arms you still believe in. So we gave you two of those. And two or three that you are moving on from.
I may speak for you and Robbie Ray.
Yeah, that's fine.
And I will probably move on from Springs.
Yeah, those are the two that were on my. Those were the two. If you want to throw Verlander on the list, go there too. But I actually dropped Verlander in a 15 this past week. So yeah, you can move on from all of those, in my opinion. Steve Stud, Kumar Rocker, or West Townie says Kumar Rocker. Any hope he can turn things around?
I think unless the fastball improves, and that's a lot to ask for something to happen quickly. So I will say no for now.
Stint in the minors might help the kid out. Max Crow says, which of this slew of pitchers are the best buy low targets in trade leagues?
I would say it's a tough one.
I'd buy low on Sandy if you can, honestly, because the velocity is still there. It's a control thing, I think, with him. Like, the velocity is still there. That's the only thing giving me hope, and they're going to throw him out there as much as they have to. So.
Yeah, I like that, and that's something that probably gets better before it gets worse for Sandy. The more he gets used to pitching, and the further removed he is from TJ, I will throw Ryan Pepiot in there. Just kind of looking at what Pepiot's throwing down right now, it's the best swinging strike of his career at 14%. The K's have been there. It's just been some really brutal home run luck. So Ryan Pepiot. Again, even with some concerns about the home park later this season, I think Ryan Pepiot is pitching better than his inclusion on the list, especially that 150 whip. That's brutal.
Yep. Adam Seven says, if you could add one guy from the list to all your teams, who would it be and why? I think we kind of hit on that. But
yeah, it's Kind of similar question. I'd say Pepio because he's pitching well.
Yeah, and Bailey Ober shouldn't be on this list either. Just he is because of the start, but he's much better than this list.
Yeah.
Smokey Joe, which pitcher do you think would fall off a cliff if they lost 5% of their skills, whether that be velocity, breaking ball, et cetera, and which pitchers do you think that has the best chance of remaining effective even if they lose 5%? That's a deep question.
I think the pitcher that would most fall off if they lose 5% is Nick Martinez.
Yes.
Not a ton there to begin with, and if anything command-wise drops, it falls off very quickly.
I think Bailey Ober would be just fine even if he lost 5%. I think we've seen him grinding right now, and he hasn't even pitched his best yet, and he's pitching pretty well. So
yeah. What about Nola?
If he loses 5%, he might be in that Nick Martinez conversation.
What are you talking about, dude? No.
If he strikes out 5% less than he's striking out now, then what's he worth to you?
I guess. But he's not going to. Like, he's still striking out, guys.
But the question was, what if they lost 5%?
Technicality. You're like a lawyer or something.
I just read the fine print, my friend.
That is probably the right answer. If his stuff starts to fade and we don't get the Ks.
He's okay. Basically Luis Castillo, who, when we talked to Luis Castillo,
all right, like, now you're just piling on Aaron Nola. That's starting to get defensive over my guy here. Dylan Cease would be on this list, except he was drafted so damn early. He should be on this damn thing. What's Dylan Cease's whip? 6.03 ERA. Hold on.
I have hit a nerve. Ryan's going after it now.
Whip. 150 whip. 6.04 ERA for Dylan Cease.
Look at that 3.36 Sierra. Like, that's just showing you how good things can be. It's still like a 20% K to walk. That's pretty darn solid. I'll take that from Dylan Cease. And it was all one start where you have 9 runs against the A's in Sacramento. Otherwise, it's 3
now,
runs.
Now who's getting start. Defensive? Now who's getting
I'm
defensive.
Just justifying how good he actually has been. And he has 1 walk or less in 3 of his last 4 starts. Aaron Nola can't.
Look at this. Look at this cherry picking, stat cherry picking. It's I know you had this in you, man.
That's going to be a fun one all season long. Mailman Mike says, you didn't think I had this in me. Come on. Mailman Mike says, give us some boys from this list and some buys and some sales or what everyone else is asking. Yeah, we already got you there. Adam, we got you there. Corbin, our buddy Corbin Young, why is Mitch Keller last on the list? Which it's because of the ADP, Corbin. Don't get protected.
Hey, but here. I will say Mitch Keller's barely on this list. Yeah. Honestly, a 4.18 ERA. I don't know how many wins the guy has, but 1.36 whip from an ADP like 300. That's not too bad. Though only 20 strikeouts and 28 innings for Mitch Keller. That seems low.
Yeah.
I try not to spend my days analyzing Mitch Keller stats anymore. Corbin, but
I just leave it for Corbin. He lets us know.
Yeah, I'd rather be looking at Hunter Brown stats myself. So
yes, Hunter Brown looked real good against the Jays the other night and all season, honestly.
Big velo increase for Hunter Brown, which could be good, could be bad, but he looks freaking awesome.
That sinker is just doing a number to his repertoire. It's been beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Career low swinging strike for Mitch Keller right now, 8.2%. That's ugly.
And honestly, I want to check one more thing out on Mitch Keller, because the thing that got me coming into the season, I still like Mitch Keller in deeper formats, but yeah, it's crazy. He's only 29 right now. I feel like he's been pitching forever.
Yeah.
So he's not even that old, all things considered. All right, Ryan, that'll wrap us up. That's the end of our questions. Well, we got one last one here from Sean in the chat.
Woody, what
two pitchers do you want to come back sooner than later? Ranger Suarez, Pablo Lopez, he comes back this week. Zach Eflin, George Kirby, Tobias Myers, who comes back this week as well, or Shane Bieber?
So selfishly, that's how I'm going to answer the question. Pablo Lopez and George Kirby. Yeah. Pablo's coming back this week, right? Somewhat abbreviated pitch count.
Pablo, yeah, like 80 pitch count. Tobias Myers should be back with the full pitch count this week too.
The hell's up with Kirby? He's gone the way of Shane McClanahan.
He's facing live hitters hopefully by the end of the week.
So, but he's still...
He's still a ways away.
He's still a ways away then.
It's probably like a month away.
I mean, that's a 2-month absence for Kirby. That's
assuming no more
stuff. Assuming exactly. That's that's not great.
No, it's a shoulder injury, so it's like it's a slow play for sure.
As they should.
Yeah. Yep. What's the point in rushing back to Seattle anyways?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not even trying to be mean. I'm just pointing out facts on this one.
Yeah. Just give up. Screw it. Yeah. Emerson Hancock.
Oh man. Yeah, for me, I'm making my picks. Give me a second here. My picks, I'm going to I don't disagree with your picks. I like Ranger Suarez.
Yeah,
honestly.
I didn't want to butt in, but yes.
I think he's due back next week. He has one more rehab start this week, and he's back next week. He'd be tops of my list. The other one,
I mean, we saw what first half Ranger Suarez. He was like the number one starting pitcher in baseball last year.
Yeah,
for quite a ways into the 2024 season. Now you certainly can't expect that again from Ranger Suarez.
Yeah,
fell off when the back started acting up last season. If Ranger Suarez truly is healthy, and again, he's coming back very soon. He's absolutely someone to get excited about.
And sorry, I missed one more Discord question from Adam B. Is there enough evidence if the Rays ballpark is affecting Taj and Pepio more than others on the starting pitching staff? I cannot decipher that.
Yeah, that I would lean no, because I mean, how many home starts have they made? But maybe it's more a question of just like the general wind patterns and how it's playing. I'm not sure. Good question.
And the last bit of news for you here, Ryan. Christopher Sanchez said, based on initial exams, he's confident his forearm soreness isn't serious, although he said he's never experienced anything like this in a game before. That's the exact quote from Christopher Sanchez.
That's Sanchez himself saying that?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not worried at all. We're good.
That's great. I'm not worried at all, but it's something I've never felt before.
Can't wait for step two of that two-step at the end of this week.
The step two is a second opinion is what two is.
That's more likely than step two pitching. That's funny. That's a good quote.
Oh, that quote's amazing. Literally just popped up in a few.
I'm not concerned, but I've never felt anything like this before.
Good Lord. That's a great way to wrap things up here, my friends. Any final thoughts before we get to Fab on Thursday night?
I think we have to end it on that.
Yeah. Second opinion. We'll wait till later. Make sure y'all follow Ryan on the Twitter at Ryan BHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/Bubba Bloom. I'm at BD Entrick. And if you guys are bored on a Wednesday evening,
yes,
I'll be streaming on playback.tv/Bubba Bloom. So come check it out there. It'll be Peralta for the Brewers versus Logan Webb of the Giants. We might, you know, flick around to some other games. There's four games going on, so we'll have some options there. So come check it out. Maybe there'll be some guests. Maybe they won't. We'll just have fun talking some baseball. But until next time, this was Bubba the Bloom, episode 236. Catch y'all later.
Strays. Look at this.